Warning: Spinning on Two Wheels contains language, themes, and references that are inappropriate for the ears of children, sensitive grandparents, and public forums. Headphone use is recommended.
Hey y'all, I'm Peggy, the kick-ass knitter. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm yarned, a little dangerous, and definitely bad to the bone. Grab your knitting and throw open the throttle. It's time to kickstart this episode of Spinning on Two Wheels. Hey y'all! Welcome, 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 any new listeners out there, and welcome, welcome back, all my lovely returning listeners! This is episode 62 of Spinning on Two Wheels, Knitty News! It is being recorded on Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, and will include open throttle, a dropped bike, and a plant lesson as we take a trip through the scenic route. So punch into gear and let's roll on! This is Open Throttle, getting you up to speed on my current projects. Let me just start off here in Open Throttle with Operation Sock Drawer. What? The mesmerizing Riddler socks are finished! Yay! That is the first bit of Knitty News. And it also includes the side story that I may have reached the point in my life where knitting with black yarn and tiny stitches is no longer feasible in artificial light. I struggled a little bit to see the individual stitches of the mesmerizing Riddler sock toe box as I was finishing up and grafting clothes and so forth. And I guess that just comes with age, if you're lucky. I mean, it was enough to give me pause, but not enough to justify a full segment for it. Overall, I am really pleased with how this pattern worked up. Once you get past the eye-searing, maybe that was the problem, the eye-searing combo of yarn colors that I chose, and the charts that look like they are moving on the page, the pattern's really fun. Monet Draeger's Mesmerizing introduced me to, well, the integrated heel construction, and I had a good time figuring out the rhythm of the pattern. You know, the repetitions of the color changes, where the increases are placed for the heel, etc. Now, there were some parts that weren't intuitive to me, so overall, like 9 out of 10, great pattern, would recommend. And the mesmerizing Riddler socks being done means that you, dear listener, can look forward to a bonus episode coming soon where Audio Man and I introduce the next sock project. Also, in Open Throttle, Kiddo's shawl is going really well, especially for something that I have been afraid to take most places, lest I lose all of the beads. I mean, I'm a klutz, I know it, and I know how easily seed beads can disappear if I am working on that in a car that is moving and a bump is had. Those beads will go flying, and I will never find them again. And I'm aware of that. So I haven't been tempting fate in that regard. I am nearing row 80 of the Peace, Love, and Knitting Half Shawl by Anna Dalvey, which is about halfway through section 3. And about halfway through section 3 is long enough for the stitch and bead placement patterns to emerge. Well, in the pattern itself, Anna Dalvey states that the Peace, Love, and Knitting shawl was created for the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Yes, that Woodstock. And the full shawl appears to be a center-out circular design with ever-growing motifs of petals and leaves creating a blooming flower. The half shawl shares similar motifs in a half circle shape. However, in the half shawl, the beads are placed in like, on the pattern itself, it looks like a chevron design, kind of a sideways zigzag, if you will. Sections 2 and 3 have 2 lines of beads. Section 1 has just 1 line of beads. But section 3 also has several tiny, like, daisy motifs underneath of the beads. It looks like 6 full daisies in a triangle underneath another triangle of beads. And the daisies are comprised of yarn overs, 6 yarn overs in a symmetrical round design. But the fun part is that once fully blocked and stretched, the chevrons of the beads take on a more rounded shape and turn into the flower petals themselves, which I just think is neat, and I'm looking forward to that effect. I have really gotten a lot quicker at using the beading tool. I need to sit down and make a gear check segment for that because I've never used a tool like this before. And it had a learning curve, but overall has been absolutely superb for getting these tiny beads onto tiny yarn quickly with minimal amount of fuss. But right now, I'm going to roll onto the next segment after this break. Hey, y'all, and welcome to the mid-roll. Yes, a real one, an actual sponsor. This episode of Spinning on Two Wheels is brought to you by the hashtag PridePodMal. Running June 1st to June 30th, 2024, the hashtag PridePodMal is a collaborative make-along supporting LGBT+ creators and businesses and celebrating LGBT+ pride and joy. Join myself and other crafty podcasters in this month-long make-along. Each podcaster will have slightly different ways to participate and slightly different prizes. Some of those prizes may even be the fun and camaraderie you get along the way. Team Peggy, totally unofficial team, will be drawing prizes from posts on Ravelry and Instagram. Your project can be anything you want, as long as one aspect of the project comes from and supports an LGBT+ business, or creator, or maker. I know I myself will be having some Zoom chats, some nitty nights, yes, during the month of June. This is supposed to be a low bar entry, super inclusive, fun way to celebrate and uplift everyone in our rainbow crafty world. So I hope y'all join us and have a good time. And now back to your regularly scheduled podcast episode. Ah, shit, I dropped my bike. You may have noticed, dear listener, a conspicuous absence from the open throttle segment. And thus, we get to the shitty nitty news, which was originally going to be the episode title, but then I finished The Mesmerizing Socks, and that's not shitty news. Like, that's great. And I wanted to share that too. I am trying to delay telling y'all this. I don't want to have to say this part. I have to restart level 2 of the Master Hand Knitting Program. nearly from scratch. Oh, that hurts. That hurts to say it out loud. All right. And it is my fault. I'd say it ain't even my fault, but it is my fault. Sort of, kind of. I don't know. You judge, dear listener. You be the judge. So the Knitting Guild Association, the group that runs the Master Hand Knitting program, etc., has updated the Master Hand Knitting levels and as such issued a deadline for completing the older versions. As is their wont and purview, they have done so before. This is not a problem. The deadlines were May 1st, 2024, or up to 18 months after purchasing level 2, whichever came second. So if you had just purchased level 2, you had the 18 months to get her done. If you had purchased it way before May 1st, that's the deadline, whichever came second. I purchased MHK level 2 in January 2022. That is well outside of that 18-month limit. And I had no chance of passing level 2, including edits and corrections, not submitting for the first time, passing. Passing level 2 by May 1st. Not going to happen. I would have died. I would have had to give up knitting any and everything else, any and all prep for the Pride Pod Mal, everything, including sleep. And that wasn't going to happen. That cannot happen at this point. So I was stuck. I had to repurchase. Part of what I'm annoyed at myself at is if I had caught this earlier, spam filters on emails occasionally suck ass. But if I had caught the emails about this earlier, I wouldn't have had to pay for the update, which would have been nice. But I don't know what I could have done. Because I have been kicking myself because this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been overwhelmed by that depressive episode in 2022. I wouldn't be here. I would have been able to keep working through level 2 without that, but nope. Like, if I could have kept making progress, I wouldn't be in this situation, but I couldn't. I mean, I could barely get out of bed some of those days, much less knit on anything. Oh, and I'm frustrated and I'm annoyed not at myself, not at TKGA or the MHK, but at depression for this setback. Because this is a big one. Like, that's 2 years without pretty much anything to show for it. At least as far as I know. I mean, I have, full disclosure, I have purchased the updated level 2. That's all set and done. And I double checked if that 18-month time limit was anywhere around still. And they're like, no. Once you have the updated version, you are golden. I'm like, great. I feel like I need the deadline, though. My ADHD brain cannot. But we work better with deadlines. It's the adrenaline. But I haven't looked into the updated packet in depth yet. In part because I wanted to do that with y'all, dear listeners, a little bit to go through maybe what some of the changes were. If not in fine detail, then in enough to convey what I'm going to be trying to work on. And also because my printer is low on ink and it's like 20 fucking pages of documents that I need a hard copy of. PDF's not gonna cut it for me. I need to take shit with me and write it down and like physical copies. I need the tactile feedback sometimes. But that means that I have no idea which, if any, of the swatches I've made will be remotely usable, or what new criteria I will have to meet. And I think going into it in depth just makes it, oh god, too real, you know? But moving forward, in general, TKGA, the Knitting Guild Association, recommends doing all of the writing and research and, like, book reports, and then doing the knitting and answering questions. Now, I have yet to follow that advice, but I'm thinking that this time I probably should. Probably. Okay, after that, I need a fucking break. Welcome to Scenic Route, where Audio Man has insisted I put my ramblings through the scenic highways and byways of mostly my garden. This is where I gush about my plants. Today in Scenic Route, I wanted to share some tips for care about houseplants. Now, this segment was inspired by the plant atrocities found at my parents' place. They both like having the plants around, but neither is quite up on houseplant care, that sometimes they need a little bit more than a spritz of water and good sunshine. And since houseplants and indoor plants in general are associated with positive mental health outcomes and improved mood, according to a number of psychological studies that will be linked in the show notes, or at least proper references provided, it seems kind of pertinent to this episode. Have I been diving into my plants a little bit hard this past week after the TKGA news? Abso-fucking-lutely. Mr. Kickass even got me. He swears it's not a bribe. A Monstera adonizae, or Swiss cheese plant. Its name is Monster Mash. It's a very healthy specimen, and I needed a plant. All right. And then I went to my parents' place and had to do some rose treatment. Rose rosette virus is real, y'all. Real. We're hoping we can save the Brigadoon rose for older sister's birthday, but no promises. It was an early infection, so we're really, really hoping that the miticide will do its job. I got distracted. Shit. And then I noticed the other plant atrocities going on in my parents' sunroom. And it was just like, I'm surrounded by death, and I'm not okay with that. No, it's not quite death, but definitely suffering. One of the important things to remember is that houseplants, especially, need drainage. Unless that plant has evolved as submerged aquatic vegetation. And then it needs lots of fresh, brackish water, plenty of light, good oxygen levels in the water. It should be in an aquarium and not in a pot. But in general, houseplants need soil that is not constantly damp. Even if they're not being watered often, houseplants are not exposed to wind or higher heat of being outdoors, so there aren't as many environmental factors to drive evaporation of water in their soil. So even if the houseplant is not being watered more than biweekly, made a gay joke. I like the bi puns. Sorry, I don't know why. I needed that. That cheered me up immensely. Even if the top of the soil is dry, the center can be very wet if the pot that the houseplant is in does not have adequate drainage. And it is very likely that the soil isn't fully drying out between waterings. And that leads to a condition known as root rot, which sounds awful because it is. Rotted roots should be removed with prejudice. like extreme prejudice. If you have a houseplant that's just been in the pot for a while and you water it on at least a semi-regular basis and you're just not sure, pop it out of the fucking pot, please, y'all. And then smell its ass end. Because, pro tip, if you sniff the roots of your plant and it smells like ass and death, that's root rot. And what needs to be done then is remove all of the damp and wet soil, remove the rotted and rotting roots, anything spongy, brown, or like squishy, slimy, it's got to go. You can repot the plant. Some people like to put it in water after that to give the roots more oxygen, to put out more roots and kind of heal itself a little bit. You can if you wish. A well-draining soil mix will also do that. Repot it. Not in the same dirt. Damp soil is also a place where pests love to invade. And if you're worried about water getting everywhere from your plants, I recommend watering them in a sink or a bathtub and just let it drain. Let it drain. Fill up the pot, let it drain. Fill up the pot again, let it drain. It's like a flash flood or a heavy thunderstorm. You can also keep a drainage tray. Those are usually plastic or terracotta trays available literally fucking everywhere. You get them. I get a bunch of mine from takeout containers that just will hold, sit underneath the potted plant, and just let the water run off and let a little bit of air circulate from underneath. You can also keep the plant in an inner pot with drainage, like a nursery pot, and a like decorative outer pot without drainage that can catch and hold all of the excess water that you then chuck out. Empty it. Empty the outer pot once the plant has been soaked and drained completely. Do not leave puddles of water on the bottom of pots or in your house. I feel like I shouldn't have to say that, but I do. There were numerous occasions of root rot at my parents' place. The plants that they have don't get watered very often, and usually only a few, like a little amount. But it doesn't matter. Sometimes browning and decaying of the top part of the plant, the leaves and so forth that we look at, can indicate a bigger issue going on down below. So if watering is not the problem and it's still turning brown, pop that thing out of its pot and go spelunking, because you got to find out what's going on. It's something in the roots, I'm telling you. And the other thing to remember about houseplants is that they like to make their home in an apartment, not a house. By which I mean, the pot your plants are in should only be an inch or two bigger than the root ball. They don't want tons of extra space. That's just free real estate for invaders or pests or God only knows what. I mean, like, a plant doesn't want, your alocasia does not want a fuckload of garden to look at or a huge lawn to deal with. It hasn't got thumbs. How is it supposed to operate a fucking lawnmower? Put it in a smaller pot, about an inch or two bigger, like around, than the root ball, with good drainage, and it will happily carry on. Most houseplants, with good drainage and properly sized pot, will happily carry on growing and being delightful and raising your mood and just not dying everywhere, mom and dad, and will hopefully bring you some joy and solace and like peace of mind when your knitting goes off the fucking deep end, off the fucking rails. So I hope that helps give some insight into your own houseplants or encourages you to try one for your own mental health and knitting inspiration. There's been a lot of plant-inspired knitting patterns and designs it's beautiful how the world intertwines that way. Bring some of that beauty into your life. Because that brings us to the end of the road. Show notes, along with images, links to all of the places to find and support the show, as well as everything else, can be found on the website twowheelspodcast.com. Audio and emotional support by my brother Larry.
Hi, everybody.
You can find more of his work nowhere because he is an enthusiastic amateur. If you liked the episode, you can support the show, its creators, and get funny bonuses and outtakes by subscribing to our Substack. It's completely free, but contributions are greatly appreciated. If you would like to support the show in a non-monetary way, do the podcasty things. Give us a star rating, leave a review, and tell every kick-ass fiber friend you have. Positive reviews and 5-star ratings help new people find the show. And finally, the music welling up is Organ Rock, Classic Hard Rock by Julius H., and is used under a common license. Thank you again for joining me. And remember, I'm revving for you. We're all in this together. Keep your wheels on the road.
To the bone.